Christians, I think, now. And so he asked me to come about 6 months ago, I think, something like that. And I consented. And then I had some surgery. I thank you for praying for me. I thank you for praying for my wife. She just went through about a year and a half ago cancer. And thank you for praying for her. Thank you for praying for me, getting my heart fit, getting my heart right. And now I don't know how this goes on. I'm sorry. It just came apart. I'm not trying to be funny. Please help me, Brother Steve.
I may be the wrong guy to get up here.
Yeah, I don't use this. We have one that just—it's just a portable thing. Goes right here, and so okay. Now, what does that do? Does this go like this? This is the clip.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. There we go. All right. This is kind of like homecoming to us. My wife was raised in Circle Pines. Anybody know where that is? I asked a girl the other day. I said, "Do you know where Circle Pines is?" "No." I says, "It's only 2 minutes away. I mean, how long you lived here?" And people are dead today, aren't they? They're just dead. I mean, I know they're dead in their trespasses and sins, but they're just, you can't get a rise out of them. You know, you can't get a conversation going. Duh. You know? And just the way it is, I guess. Now, I went to school here in 1964. I was talking to a couple of men in UMD. What's their name? UMD what? Yeah, the Bulldogs, yeah. 1964. And then went over to Fargo. And because I'm from North Dakota, and went over to school there and finished up there. And I got saved in 1976. I was a school teacher and a coach, and I'm having problems here. I'm just ad-libbing as I go along. Okay, and this is a great way to start the meeting. And but you know, I was thinking I guess this last song you sang, what number was that, brother? What? Yeah. I was just thinking, it's a good song, and I was just thinking what it was, 35 years ago, 30, let's just say 40 years ago, let's see, I'd have been about 25, so, and I hung around here, the cities, and Fargo, and man, I was lost, and God saved me when I was almost 30, and If he hadn't, I'd be in hell, dead and in hell a long time ago. But this used to be my stomping grounds. Minneapolis to Fargo, come down here for concerts and junk like that. And I'm glad to be here in this place as a saved man and be able to preach to you tonight. Go in your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 15. Now, thank you for inviting me. I thank you for the car. I'm sorry about it, the car that you loaned me. Well, we do have insurance, don't we? I think my insurance will cover it. Did you pay that premium? I told you about 3 months ago to pay that, did you? Well, anyway, we'll work it out. But I thank you for loaning me that car. And we want to go to Luke chapter 15 tonight and read about 10 verses. Look at Luke chapter 15. I said this earlier, but come on to all the meeting. You'll get the full dose. And I got saved, like I said, 35 years ago, was in Pastor Ken Blue's church at Open Door Baptist Church in Linwood, Washington. We'd have meetings like this. Man, I'd be there. I'd be there early. And, you know, just get as much as I can. And, you know, you've prayed that God would do something, and he will do something. You can get something out of me. I mean, from God out of me. You can get something from any preacher if you've got a mind to it. So look over here to Luke chapter 15. Now look over here in verse number 1. And he says this. Then drew near unto him, Jesus, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, amen. Amen. I mean, this man receiveth sinners. That's getting saved. And eateth with them, that's fellowship. And he says, and he, that is Jesus, spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is, say it, lost, until he what? Find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. What? Amen. You don't mind talking back to me, do you? Okay, because I like that. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, what? Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was? Oh, boy. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek, there's that word. I knew that was in that passage. Seek diligently till she what? Find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, some have said that evil manners begat good laws. So the murmuring of the Pharisees, they murmured, and at the grace of Christ, they said, this man receiveth sinners, gives the Lord an occasion to show them a greater display of just how serious the Lord is at finding lost sinners. There are some words in this particular passage, and I had you that describe the theme of this chapter. And those are the words like found, joy, seeking, and lost. Now, the general teaching, generally this is taught, this passage, of the lost object is a man, a sinner. The seeker is the Lord. In fact, the Lord Jesus said of himself, the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. The rejoicing is by God and the angels and by the finder himself. But I want to take this particular passage in a different direction tonight. And I want to preach to you this opening message for this meeting, at getting back what you lost. Getting back what you have lost. Now let's have a word of prayer. Now Lord, I thank you tonight for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. I thank you for his grace that saved us. And, Lord, by our simple faith in Jesus Christ and receiving him and trusting him as our Savior. Oh, God, what a blessing it is to be in church tonight with others of like faith. And, Lord, we just thank you. You've done it all. And, Lord, as has been prayed a good number of times, we ask you to come down and meet with us tonight and breathe upon this meeting and use these messages and these services to revive your saints and to build them up in their most holy faith. I'm yielded to you, Lord, the best I know, God. So I ask you to use me for your honor and to be a blessing to you and to this preacher, Brother Stevens, and this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that because of this message and the following messages, that this church could continue to be a bright light in a dark place. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about, you know, you ever lose something? It's always frustrating, isn't it? Aggravating. Sometimes it's dangerous. You know, you ever lose your keys Anybody ever lose your keys? My wife lost the keys to the car the other day. And she wasn't as frustrated as I was. But I remember one time, oh, many years ago, in my early Christian life, when I was a little more carnal. I was going to take a drive. We had a bunch of people in our house. This is out in Washington. And I wanted to take off in the car with a fella. And I couldn't find the keys. And I said, Jane, where's the keys? And it's always somebody else's fault. And I just kind of threw a little fit. And back and forth, looking all over for those keys, making an out of myself. And finally, I found them. And I kind of tiptoed out of the house. And my wife says, did you find them? Yeah. I mean, losing something. It's frustrating, aggravating, and can cause some stress on some people unnecessarily. But it's always a blessing to get it back. I remember losing my brother's car one time. I lost my brother's car up in Fargo. I lost it for a day and a half. And I lost it. Frustrating. Losing things. We got people in our church. They lose kids. They got 8 kids. They've left their kids on Sunday night, and the church is locked up, and the kid's still sleeping on the pew. Poor kid. Raised some real. They got some psychological problems. You know, parents don't love them. But it's always frustrating. Amen. And when you lose something, always a blessing to get it back. I'll tell you some things. Number one tonight, what you can't lose. You can't lose your salvation. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You got it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't lose your salvation. You get the Holy Spirit. You know that when you get saved, and you can't lose the Holy Spirit. He's a permanent resident in the born-again believer. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you can't lose that. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. You can't lose salvation. You can't lose God. You're secure. Now, that's a blessing. But there are some things you can lose. Secondly, you can lose your health. Sure, you can lose your life. You can lose property. You can lose your job. You can lose your purity. Well, I like seeing these young kids up here. Amen. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Amen. What a blessing. Look at all these. Woo! Ha! There's hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. A blessing to have him come up here and sing, and all you young kids up here tonight. It's a blessing to me. You can lose your testimony. But I was going to say this. Don't lose your purity, young people. Hello? Don't lose it. Once you lose it, you can't get it back. You walk that aisle clean. Amen. And you can lose that. You can lose your testimony. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For many have not, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You can lose your testimony. You can lose your rewards. That Bible says that we lose not what we have wrought, lose not those rewards. Over there in 2 John verse 8, you can lose your rewards. You can lose your family. You can lose your mind. You can lose your friends. You can lose those things. Thirdly, what you shouldn't lose. what you shouldn't lose. I've told you what you can't lose and what you can lose, and I want to tell you what you shouldn't lose and you need to get back. You can lose your assurance. I've seen so many people walk the aisle, come down, snot hanging out of their nose and crying and everything, and need to get saved, and you talk to them and you find out they got saved maybe 6-7 years ago but never got in church and got out of the will of God, and they lost their assurance. If you don't have the assurance that you're saved, going to heaven, your sins have been forgiven, you can get it back. You need to get it back. You can lose your strength. You can lose your courage. D.L. Moody said, "I've never seen God use a discouraged person." You can lose your courage and get discouraged in your strength. You can lose your peace. You can lose your edge. I think we ought to live on the edge. Amen. You know what? How you lose your edge? You start coasting in the Christian life. Just like the normal Laodicean Christian. You can lose your zeal. You can lose your love for the Lord. You can lose your love for the Bible. You can lose your love for souls. You can lose your love for studying the Word of God. You can lose your zeal to be separated from this world. You can lose those things. You can lose your singing. Listen, I like the singing. I like to hear. That Bible says, sing unto the Lord. I says, the Lord hath put a new song in my heart. And He certainly did. I used to listen to the Blood, Sweat, and Tears and the Jefferson Airplane. And I know that's way over some of your head. But He put a new song. And you can lose your singing. You can come in. Listen, that's good singing tonight. This is a good. Where's that songbook? Right here. This is a good songbook. This is a good songbook. I love this songbook. We have the same one, a different color. But I know. You got the blood, we got heaven, okay? You can lose those things. You can lose, hey, listen, you can lose your joy. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You can lose your joy. You can lose your servant, your wanting to serve God. You can lose your liberality, being a good giver. You ought to listen. Christians ought to be able to lay the cash on the barrel head. You can lose that. You can lose that wanting to give. You can lose your family. You can lose your spouse. You can lose your love for obeying God. You can lose your love for the brethren. You got somebody in here you got something against? Shame, shame. You ought not to. Amen. You can lose that and get your nose bent out of shape and just have some bitterness in you. You need to get that thing back. Love for the brethren. That'll bust up a church. That'll hurt a church. I'll say this also. You can lose your shout. You can lose God's presence. You can lose that good attitude. You can lose your humility. You can lose your submission to God. You can lose control of your family. You can lose your trust in God and start doubting God. You can lose your resolve to stick with the program until Jesus comes or you get out of here by dying. You can lose those things. You can lose your footing. And starts slipping. And those are some things that you shouldn't lose. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to get them back. I'm sure I hit you on one of those. Come on. Well, amen or oh me. Don't just sit there. Amen. It's an amen or an oh me. I mean, some of these you could say amen, 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 amen. Oh me, oh me, oh me. Amen, oh me, oh me. Amen, oh me. Amen? Or me? I'm saying to you tonight. I know I hit something. You got any more? What else can you lose? Tell on yourself. Oh, you forgot this. You can lose those things. Those are some things you shouldn't lose. And if you have, you need to get them back. Now, fourth point. How did you lose those things? How did you lose your assurance? How did you lose your peace? How'd you lose your joy? How'd you lose your, I was saved 76, I told you, and went to church out there in Washington, right north of Seattle. And my best friend was Bob Usher. And then the guy witnessed to a telephone pole. I mean, he witnessed to everybody. Bob, 77 years old, was just over at our home here, our house a while back. The guy is still witnessing to everything that moves. He's never lost it. I bet there's somebody in here. You used to be real zealous for passing out tracts, and you don't anymore. Oh, me. You can lose those things. Well, how'd you lose it? Take your Bible, would you please? Hey, wait, stay in Luke 15. You got to stay there all night. I mean, you know, as long as we're here. I didn't ask the pastor how long he wanted me to go, so I'm glad I didn't. But stay in Luke chapter 15. You know, this one fellow loses a sheep, didn't he, in our passage? Well, he might have been daydreaming, right, not paying attention. And you can lose it that way, through neglect. Look over here to Proverbs chapter 24. Solomon says in Proverbs 27:23, he says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herd. You're supposed to be diligent, watching over the flock. This guy wasn't. He lost a sheep. Look over here to Proverbs chapter 24. You can lose these things that I've listed, your assurance, your joy, your peace, your love, your love for the brethren, your singing, your submission, your humility, your trust in God. You can lose it through neglect. You stop reading this book. You stop reading this book and you'll lose some things. Look over here to Proverbs chapter 24. Look at this fella. He says, look at verse number 30. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now, we always just say teenagers are space cadets or airheads. Here's a man that's an airhead. He's void. He's got a void of understanding. He said, and lo, he went by this field, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. You know what happened? He loses a crop through neglect. Through neglect, he lost his crop. I've seen I've seen good farmers, and I've worked on farms when I was growing up. I lived in town, and my dad had 800 acres, and he left my mom, and then my mom married another guy, and he had 800 acres, and we hauled bales, and we planted and you know wheat and all that kind of stuff, and picked rocks and milked cows. And I've seen good farmers and I've seen bad farmers. I've seen nice farms and I've seen some real pits. And the best farmers have the best orderly things going on and take care of their machinery. There's not a rooster sitting on the in the engine of the tractor. And this guy here didn't take care of his field. It grew all over with weeds, and he lost a crop. Why? Through neglect. Look at it. He said, verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and looked and considered it well, and you ought to consider it well. He said, I looked upon it and received instruction, learned something. He said, yet a little sleep. There you go. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I'll tell you how you can lose the things I listed through neglect. Stop reading your Bible. Don't have devotions with the Lord. Don't come to church. Things like that. I'll say secondly tonight, how did you lose it? Well, look back here to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Look at Luke chapter 15 and look at verse number 8. It says, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. This gal probably had a messy house. Aren't you glad the preacher calls before he comes over? You know what? She had probably had a messy house. But second point I want to make to you tonight about how you can lose it. You got too many things cluttering up your life. My office is a mess. I am always losing things. And I don't even know where they are anymore. In fact, I stack everything up, and then I clean my office, and I put that stack back in a side room, and then I start another stack and get another mess going. I can't find anything. Why? I got too many things cluttering up my office. And sometimes you get too many things cluttering up your life, and you start losing the things that are important. Too many distractions. That Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I mean, you can get all entangled, you can get all distracted through hunting. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm in Minnesota. Oh, yeah, but I'm in Montana too. Oh, yeah, I hunt. I just hunt to, you know, put meat on the table. You know, you got to put meat on the table. No, you want a plaque on the wall. That's what you want. Amen. You could care less. I mean, you know what? I mean, the money you spend for getting a deer, $300-$400, you could have gone down to butcher shop and got a lot more. Sorry. I like to hunt too. But you can let that be a distraction. You can let sports be a distraction. We got soccer on Sunday and, on church days. And you can just let sports be a distraction. You guys that are playing basketball, don't let that be a distraction. Amen. Amen. That ain't the greatest thing in this going on. It's a good thing. I think you ought to learn discipline. I'm an old coach, so don't get all shook up, okay? And I like basketball. I like football. I like baseball. I coached them all. And but don't let that be a distraction and keep doing what you're doing here. Make that the number one thing. You're welcome, parents. Shoot. I mean, you ought to tip me for that. Now you know, you can see just by hearing me thus far why I'll never build a large church. Okay? I'm going to lay it on you, man. Yeah. Too many distractions. I tell you what, you're going to get mad at me, but that's just the way it goes. Somebody listen to too many political talk shows. You know, when I listen to them, I get mad. Amen. I get so stinking mad at the conspiracies. I listen to Rush, and then he won't. I mean, listen to Rush, and he thinks he's got the answers. The guy's a dumbbell. Come on. What does he know? Get a Bible. That'll tell you. He won't let a Bible believer talk on his show. That shows you. Amen. One guy called him up years ago and got in. And he said, and got in without, you know, they screen him. And he got in and got in and said, yeah, Rush, he says, you know, politically you may be conservative, but morally you're a liberal. Who let this guy on the program? You know, he sells prophylactics. I mean, come on. He's always saying, what the, you know, and cussing on the pro. What are you listening to that stuff for? You can get distraction. Hey, I don't like Obama either. Sorry. I don't like him. Some of you probably voted for him. But the hope is not in the White House. Is still in this church, in this house. Amen. You can get distracted with that kind of stuff. And I got people handing me literature all the time, and I get it on the email all the time. I'm just saying, how did you lose it? Too many distractions. This is the main thing. Souls is the main thing. Your walk with God is the main thing. Praising God and worshiping Him is the main thing. Living right is the main thing. Now, something else. Well, what do? You lost it. You've lost some things. I know you have. So how do you know? Because I pastor a church. I mean, I pastor people just like you. Sheep are sheep all over the place. And I know myself. I know myself. I lose the edge. I get too many distractions in my life, and I find myself slipping. I'm not above that. No, but no, none of us is above that. So what do you do? Well, take your Bible. Go back here to Luke chapter 2. And that kind of, this is my last point. I only got 5 points to this message. What you can't lose,
give you that.
What you can lose,
gave you that.
What you should lose, shouldn't lose and need to get back,
gave you that.
How did you lose it?
Gave you that.
And now, what do you do? What do you do? How you get it back? Getting back what you've lost. Now I got 6 subpoints, 7 subpoints under there. Yeah, I just added one today. But what do you do? Well, you got to realize it's gone. Don't deceive yourself. You don't have your shout anymore. You used to have the shout. You used to love coming to church. You used to love, couldn't wait to get up and have devotions and talk to the Lord. You couldn't wait to go soul winning. You were excited about that. How do you get it back? You got to get it back. And you got to realize you don't have that zeal anymore. Come on now. You still have a zeal for souls like that right after you got saved? Right now. I know how I was. I got saved. I went home. I got saved May 5th, 1976. A farmer led me to the Lord at a kitchen table, dairy farmer in the middle of central North Dakota. I went home that weekend and talked. I mean, the first thing I wanted to do is tell my mom so she could have what I had. I had peace. I don't know how to witness. I mean, really? I didn't know. But I tried to talk to her. Mom, you got to get what I raised Catholic. And she got, didn't get her there, but I got later on she got saved. I mean, I started telling people. I want to tell everybody something happened. I got a Bible, and I put a Bible. Jane bought me a Bible. I met her 9 days later. 9 days later, I met her. 6 weeks later, we got married in Fridley here, 666 Mississippi Street. Amen. And she bought me an NASV. She didn't know any better. And I put that thing on the middle of my van. I had a 69 Chevy van. You know, the window's right here. And the engine's right here. And then the seat, you know. And I put that Bible right there, and I started talking to people. I taught school, and this is, what do you got a blankety-blank Bible for? I was just hot for God. I was zealous to see somebody else get what I got. I'm not like that anymore. I'm not as zealous as I used to be. Are you? You got to realize it's gone. Well, take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 2. You got to realize it's gone. Look at Luke chapter 2. You following me? This is pretty simple, isn't it? Look at verse number 41. Now his, that's Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the what? Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And let me ask them, is Jesus Christ God? Sure he is. They lost God and they didn't know it. Hello? Jesus is God, isn't he? Has he always been God? Of course. They lost him. You know where they lost him? In the midst of religious activity. They went to a religious feast, Passover feast. You can serve the Lord, and that's good. You ought to serve the Lord, but you can lose the Lord in the presence of the Lord and lose your shout and lose some things in serving the Lord if you don't stay in touch with Him. It happened to me. I tell you what, I got saved. I got into that church at Open Door Baptist Church, and I hit the ground a running man. I went to everything. I went to every church service. I went to bus calling. I went to prayer meetings. I went to soul winning. I went everything. I went work day Monday night, work day on Saturday. I mean, my life was spent there, but pretty soon I got a little cold and lost some things. So you can lose some things in serving God, in the midst of religious activity. Notice verse number 43 again. Are you with me? And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother, knew not of it. And, you know, they took for granted that he was with them. They took it for granted. You can take a lot of things. You can think God's still with you, and he really isn't. Look at verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their what? I'm telling you, you got to realize it's gone. But you know what they went? They went, you're not going to find God amongst your kinfolk. They went the wrong place. Notice, it says, and they sought him, and there's a key word, sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. That's another wrong place. You ain't going to find him back among your acquaintances. Watch this. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, you know what? It's not instantaneous when you lose something. Your shout, your joy, your wanting to sing, and your love for the Bible, and your zeal for souls. It just doesn't come back instantaneous sometimes. Sometimes when you lose something, it takes a little while to get it back. You got to work at it a little bit. Yes, the desire and the confessing to God and telling him you're sorry, you lost it, and I want to have this back. Yeah, but then you got to get with the program. You know, Samson, it said he wist not that the Lord was gone. And guess what? You know where his strength was in his separation and his Nazarite vow, and that was that long hair, and his hair began to grow. Didn't grow overnight. It takes some time. Sometimes it takes a little while. It's just not going to be instantaneous. Are you here? You following me? Now watch it. He said, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him where? That's a good place to find God. In the church. I tell you what, you got a good church, you better hang on to it. Hello, Dolly. You here? You got a good pastor. You got a good Bible teaching preacher. You ought to stick with it. They're few and far. There's nothing out there anymore. They found him in the church. Now, you got to realize you lost him. Go back here. Let me see. Go back here to Luke chapter 15. I'm telling you now, you lost some things. I'm telling you, how'd you lose him? Well, through neglect, too many things cluttering up your life, sin. You know that gal had to sweep the dirt. Sin. Just plain old sin. Got some secret sin that you're hiding. Something you're doing secretly. Nobody else knows about. You can lose those things. It comes out sooner or later. If not down here, it'll certainly come up there. And you can lose those things. You got to realize then how to get it back. You got to realize, I don't have it anymore. Notice this. Notice something else. Look over here in verse number 4. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Look at verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? Now, I don't know. Silver is about 35 bucks around right now, right? Come on, you guys, don't you guys, Johnny? A guy one time came up to me and gave me a whole big bag of them. Said, here, this is for you. I said, oh, thank you. I sold them for $8 a piece. That's what silver was then. It's 35 bucks now. 35 bucks. You know what? He lost one. He lost one piece. He lost 35. 10 of them would be 350 bucks. Right? I know you went to the public school, but you got that, didn't you? Okay? Now,
He says, either what woman have 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house still. Hey, listen, she lost $35. Right? He lost a sheep. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what a critter is. I mean, you got 100 cows, you lose one, that's a $1,000 bill. At least, I don't know, some of you got anybody farmer around here? Anybody know what's going on? I mean, about $1,000. I don't care if you got 100,000 worth of cattle, you lose $1,000. That's a lot of money. Second point. But you see what that guy did? He left the 99 and went after that one. She starts sweeping diligently in that house. She had the other nine were up. I don't know. Maybe she put them in the cupboard or on the shelf. But she went after. The second question I got to ask you, is it valuable enough for you to go and get it back? I mean, how important to you is your shout for God? How important is for you tonight to have a zeal for souls, for God, for the Bible, for prayer, for walking with God? How important is it to you tonight to have your strength back and your assurance back and a good, hearty, heartfelt trust in God? How important is it for you to have a firm resolve that I'm going to finish my course? I'm going to finish my course with joy. You know, I tell you, I forgot to mention this right at the beginning of the message. It comes to me right now. But, you know, I got a good friend named Rick DeMichael, and he always says this when we're talking. He says, I want to finish my course, and I want to finish right. Don't you want to finish right? Well, then you better get your shout back. You better get your joy back. You better get your peace back. You better get your zeal for God and the Bible and souls and prayer. You better get those things back if you're going to finish right. Hello? I'm not mad at anybody. Amen. You ain't finishing right if you don't have those things back. And you don't have them all. He says, I mean, how important is it for you to have those things back? All right? Thirdly. All right, watch this. Look at verse number 8 again. You know? Now look at verse number 8. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep thou what? You need to go back. Third point is go back ASAP to the place you last had it. She didn't go out to the barn. She didn't go out to the corral. She didn't go over. She went back. I had this thing right here. It was in the house. I know I messed up. I got too many things hanging around here. I got too many distractions, too many things cluttering up my life in my house. And she says, I know it's right around here. You better go back as soon as possible to the place where you last had it. You ever notice that when you lose something? You think, where did I put those keys? Where did I put those keys? I always keep them back here. Right? You go back. Where's the last time you really had and really were excited and really wanted to go out and try to win someone to Jesus Christ? Where was that? Think about it. I told you it wasn't instantaneous. You're going to have to think about some of these things. Take your Bible, go over here to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you there? 2 Kings chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. And he said, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, he said, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. And he says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thee every man a beam, and let us make us a place thereof, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. I mean, they're running out of room in their church, and they got to build a bigger building. You know why? They got rid of sin in the previous chapter when that servant of Elisha tried to get the money from Naaman. They got rid of him, so they got big. You don't get rid of sin, and you'll see some things happen. Hello. Look at this. He says in verse number 4. So they went with him, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down one, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God, and I'll talk about that in just a little while, where fell it? Where did it fall?
Where'd you lose it?
Where'd you last have it? He said, where fell it? And he cast down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Where'd it fall? Where'd you last have it? When you want to get up in the morning and you couldn't wait to get up in the morning and read your Bible. Instead of the newspaper, now you read the newspaper. I felt that a while back. I get up, and I read a proverb. I go to my office right away in the morning. I'm out of the house, boom, and I'm into town, and I'm reading my Bible. I couldn't wait to read my proverb so I could read the paper. Stupid. And get on the internet and check my email. Stupid. Should shoot that thing. I got right on it, and I said, look, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to read my 30 pages. Just joking. I'm going to get my Bible reading done and my prayer time done. Then I'll read the stinking rag. The Missoulian, the paper. You hear me? Yeah. Look, go back. Go back here to Luke, would you? Look back here to Luke. Now watch this. Where fell it? Where'd you lose it? When you start going back, when you start going downhill, when you start slipping, get back. Look over here. What caused you to do it? Was there a particular event in your life that caused you to get mad, get bitter? Maybe you eat too much, maybe, or something, and you're too tired all the time. I don't know. What is it? You find out. You ask the Lord. Because you got to get it back. You got to get it back. Look over here to back here to our text. Is this too rough for you guys? Huh? Boring? That's the problem here. Okay, good. All right, look at Luke chapter 15. Now watch this. He says, look at verse number 8 again. Oh, here we go back to verse number 8. You're going to have that thing memorized. Now watch this. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a what? You know what you ought to do? How are you going to get it back? Get some light on it. The entrance of thy word giveth what? Start reading your Bible. Say, I lost it. I want to get it back. Start reading your Bible. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Shut the TV off. It's all bad news. Shut the thing off. Shoot it. I tell you, I know Brother Rocky Shanks, that's Tim Shanks' dad. He took that thing out to the dump ground and took a .357 and plop. Shot the sucker. Amen. I like what Sam Gibbs says. I'd do the same thing, but I'd have it plugged in and move till Dan Rather was on. But I'm just saying, you need to get rid of that thing. If that's a distraction to you and you can't control that thing and you're watching too much, and get into this book. This book will show you where you're wrong and how to get it back. I'll tell you something else. Take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Get some light on it. She lit that candle and put that thing and went all over. And she found it, by the way, didn't she? She found that thing. And look over here to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now, don't leave me yet. I'm not done yet, but I'm almost done. 1 Samuel chapter 9. My kids always say, and you know my Daniel, he's a smart aleck. And he'd been down here before. Anybody remember him? A tall, skinny kid? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you remember Daniel? Amen. He says, when Dad says, I'm almost done, it's always 20 minutes. Stinking kids are sitting there just looking, you know. Boy, I slap him in the next week. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. I want to tell you something. I said, how to get it back? Get some light on it. I want to say this. Listen to me very carefully. Maybe your preacher can help you. You know, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. That's his job. He's looking after the flock. He might see something you don't see. Preacher, I'm just don't feel right about some things, you know, and some things aren't. Well, why don't you try the man of God? Why don't you try him? Look over here. I'll show you now. I gave you some. I got scripture for it.
It's out of context, brother. It's on wrong dispensation.
Well, Timothy's called a man of God. That's, I think, written by Paul. 1 Samuel chapter 9. He says, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were what? Are you there? You know where 1 Samuel is? All right. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were what? Thank you. And Kish said to his Saul, his son, aren't you glad I'm not your pastor? Boy, you couldn't put up with me very long. And he says, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go what? Seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah. But they found them not. They're seeking the lost. And they didn't find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalem. And there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites. But they what? Found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a what? Amen. There's a man of God. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Maybe he can help us find those asses. Maybe your preacher can help you. Amen. That's what one of the things I think you pay him. Hope you do. I mean, take advantage of him. He wants to see you get that thing back too. And he may see some things in your life that you've brought into your life. You better be there and let him correct you. Now, he didn't tell me to say this, but I'll take the money anyway. But I'm a pastor. I've been doing this too. I know. I see stuff in people's life. I know the direction they're going. They're going to lose some things. They're going to lose their family. They've lost their singing. They hardly sing anymore. They stop skipping prayer meeting. Soul winning. They stop. Then it's Sunday night or Thursday night, and then that's when we have midweek. Then it's Sunday night. Then Sunday school, and then Sunday. And he sees it. I see it. I know. I know who's not there. I know where they sit. I know everyone that's not there. Amen. So does he. He knows his sheep. Maybe he can help you. Look over here to. We're still there in 1 Samuel. Look at verse 19. And Samuel said, answered Saul, Saul. Saul, and said, I am the seer. That's Samuel, the prophet, the man of God. I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place where you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for those, oh, by the way, right? As for those thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are what? Yeah, he can help you find them. Get some light on it. Go to the preacher. I'll show you something else. Look back here to go to Psalm 119, but go back to our text also because you have a marker there. But go to Psalm 119. Give you a couple more scripture. Look at Psalm 119. You know what I'm trying to do? Trying to help you. Amen. I think this is a good way. Listen, you know what you ought to do? Let this meeting do? These are some important things to have. Will you grant me that? Your shout. Your love for God, your love for souls, your love for the Word of God, your love. Hey, you know what you can lose? I didn't say this. You can lose your love for your spouse. You better get that back. Amen. You just don't fall in and out of love this kind of Hollywood. Well, that's a nice word. That's not it. Amen. Forbearing one another in love. Amen. You can lose your love for your spouse. You better get back. You're in trouble. Where did I say go? Okay, go back here to Luke chapter 15. Look at verse number 8 again. As if you had, I had to say it. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek how? Diligently. Until she find it. Hey, put some effort into it. Well, this is the only night I'm going to be here, preacher.
Amen. That's not right. Put some effort into it. You ought to be at every church service. You ought to be reading. Put some effort in. Get in this book. Put some extra time in this book. She sought diligently till she found it. She worked at it. How valuable is it? You really want it back. Look at Psalm 119 quickly. Look at Psalm 119. Don't you quit till you find it. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him how? With the whole heart. Sincerely. Seek Him with the, not just your heart, your whole heart. Look at verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Let's go back here. Let's go back here to Luke chapter 15. Listen, I'm going to get my peace back. I'm going to get, I tell you what, I'm going to get my joy back. Oh, I'm going to get that back. I'm going to get my love for God back. I'm going to get my zeal for the Word of God and souls back. I'm going to get that. Where is that thing? I'll get that thing. Oh, maybe it's down here at the altar confessing to God. I'm going to get that thing back. Come hell or high water. I'm going to get it back. I'm not going to quit till I get it back like it used to be. I have somewhat against you, he says to the church. You have left your first love. Oh, yeah, you got your doctrine straight. You got your separation right. Yeah, you got it, but you left your first love. Amen, amen. I'll tell you one more thing. Now watch back here to Luke 7:4-15. Let's go do this once now. Verse number 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors. Here, watch this. Verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Notice verse number 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Listen, when you find it, you go tell somebody about it. You testify about it. Yeah, you know, I lost my joy. I've lost my joy, but I'm getting it back. I lost my peace and the comfort that God has given me and I'm not accepting the grace of God. He's not. I mean, I lost it, man. Listen, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. I did not avail myself of the grace of God, but I am. I'm getting it back. I'm getting my love for God back. I'm getting it back. Praise God. Tell somebody. Rejoice. And testify about it. You know what you might do? You might encourage somebody else to do it. You ever hear a testimony and somebody gives a nice testimony about this or that? Say, man, I need to be doing that. Give out a tract to somebody and witness to someone. And they give a testimony about how God was working on the person, blah, blah, blah. And it encouraged you. I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You've lost some things. And you need to get them back. You need to get them back. Let's bow for prayer. Now our heads are bowed. And I'm sure the piano's going to come playing. But you can come right now. Why don't you come talk to God? You need to tell God, I'm sorry. I lost some things through neglect, through laziness, through letting too many things come into my life. But I want them back. I want them back. Sorry, Lord. It all starts out with saying, sorry, Lord. And then just going on and resolving. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are nobler, things that are higher, these have allured my sight. That's it.
Like we are for a few minutes here. The Lord spoke to you tonight. There's room down here. You can come. Kneel down in the front row, if not on the altar. There's a lot to be said for learning to recognize the danger signs, huh? It's amazing how you can recognize the danger signs sometimes in somebody else. Your kids, your friends, your fellow Christians, and somehow manage to overlook your own. The fact that the yellow light's been flashing for a while. Still open. There are still a few down here. Why don't you open your hymnals to number 328? Let's stand here for a few minutes. Make sure you take a great place to start. The Lord says you need to deal with this, then come deal with it. Quit putting it off, maybe like you have for a while. Go ahead and move on what the Lord says. Move on tonight. Good place to start. 328. Praise the Lord. Good start tonight, huh? Enjoyed it thoroughly. And you keep praying. I think the Lord nailed some things on the head here tonight and told the preacher what to preach. So it's always a good thing when that happens. Amen. Pray that it happens again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Amen?
Amen.
We'll take up an offering tomorrow night, so you can come prepared for that. Try to get some visitors here. We look forward to maybe some of the Berean Bible Baptists down in Hastings maybe being here tomorrow night too. So hopefully that'll happen. If you're planning on singing tomorrow night, let me know. I left my list at home tonight and forgot, so I don't know who's singing yet. But if you're interested in singing tomorrow night, come see me, all right? Okay, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate your faithfulness. Amen. Being here, I appreciate Amen. Those of you that fasted, you know, through some of the last week or so. A lot of folks have prayed, and you've been faithful, so keep plugging away. And Amen. One of these days, the Lord's going to get us out of here, maybe before this meeting's over. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for what we got to hear tonight. It's good. Really good. And I pray that you'll bless now. Preacher flew out here, Father, and just for this. I know they'll get to rub shoulders with family a little bit. It's nice to come fellowship with another preacher and some of his folks. But what preacher's here for this week is to preach to us. And he needs your guidance. I know you already have done that. We've prayed to that end. I know he's prayed to that end. His wife's praying, and I know that a lot of folks here are. But we look forward to hearing you this week. Pray, Father, that maybe the hardest heart here tonight among us could be reached once again with something warm from on high, Lord. And that's a part about kind of growing older as a Christian. You get a little bit wizened and a little bit thorny and get some scales where there ought not be scales. It's easy to get hard. And Father, I pray tonight you might reach some of us, maybe that even stand here tonight, resistant to some things. Heard things for so long, can acquiesce to things, and their hearts and minds can say with the mouth, Amen, and still not yield on something important. So we pray to that end here tonight, and we sure hope somebody comes and gets saved this week. And that'd be a great thing too. But these meetings are mainly for our people here, Father, who are laboring in a dark hour. Some would say a desperate hour spiritually. And you've been good to us. We've enjoyed a lot of profitable things and a lot of treasures and precious things in our church. A lot of folks going through things. There are some dark hours at 3 in the morning for folks standing here right now tonight. And I pray that you'd comfort them and show them, Lord, the next steps. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night. See y'all tomorrow night at 7:00.